Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday presented by Blake Street Tavern. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Just to make you twist your face up a little bit.
Yeah.
That screw face.
Yeah. It's Friday. Time to get a little dirty. A little grimy.
Just a little bit.
Hip Hop Friday.
Just a little bit.
Game week. Oh, my goodness.
Good Friday.
Mate.
Happy Friday to you. You made it.
Ricky Ross,
hey.
Oh. It's here.
What's up, man?
Oh, man. I ain't gonna lie. I was hoping you were gonna be late.
I know you were.
Man. That was so close.
In 4.5 years, the closest it's ever been.
Oh. Was it really?
Yep.
Wow. Man.
And Tyler was hassling me, and I have a long-standing streak here. I've never been late, and it's not confirmed.
It really is not confirmed, Zach. I don't know.
I'm just telling you.
There was a time that you were a couple minutes late one time, but I wasn't paying attention back then. I was like, this guy will probably be gone here in the next year or so. So I wasn't really paying attention, you know, just kind of, you know, thinking that, you know, I would have another host here with me shortly. But time has passed and we have stuck together. And
now I'm your longest tenured teammate of all time.
Well, I don't know about how long we've been going together.
Over 4.5 years now.
Well, me and Peyton were 5.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
So,
okay.
Get in the back seat.
All right.
You're not there yet, buddy.
At least we still got time to get rid of you.
You're
in the car, but you know it's you keep saying you've never been late.
I know, and I tempted fate.
You're always really close. Mm-hmm. You know, you're always within 5 minutes usually.
Yeah,
some 7 minutes, but.
Yeah.
One day you're going to hit traffic. You're going to have one time I was really late. A wreck.
Yeah.
You know, right on I-25, nothing I could do about it.
Can't control that.
Can't control it. I just can't wait for that to happen to you.
Well,
you made it.
I made it, man.
On a Friday.
It was one of those things where the GPS was telling me to go a certain way. And I'm like, that's not the way I go.
Right.
Like, I take the left here on, it's like Quincy, I think. And I'm like, why is it? I'm like, no. And then it gets the arrow to go left.
Right.
So I like hop out of my lane that it's telling me. I'm like, I'm going the way that I always go.
I'm going my way. Well, you didn't listen to it, and probably there was a wreck there.
It was construction.
Construction.
So I'm backed up. It's one of those things where, like, the light changes green, and you see it, and you're inching closer, and then it hits yellow, and there's still, like, 7 cars in front of you, and you got to do that double stop. Oh, man, but I made it. I'm so excited to be here. We have NFL football. How was the high school game last night?
It was great. I headed over to the Thornton area right after work. Not an easy drive. You know about driving? That's not an easy drive, brother. But anyway, got over there and, had a great time at Horizon High School. So shout out to them. And
I think that's where Kevin Kistner said he went to high school.
That's right. That's right. The legend himself, Kevin. They were asking me about him, actually.
Yeah?
Everybody. Yeah.
Like where's Kistner? Where's Chicken Fingers?
Chicken Fingers. Who gave him that nickname?
I think D-Mac.
Oh, goodness. What a nickname.
He, like, eats chicken fingers every day. And they, like, go out to dinner and, like, everyone's ordering something. He, like, gets the chicken fingers.
Oh. He gets a chicken.
They pull the Fangio.
The kids meal. Like, can I get the kids menu, please? Y'all have chicken fingers here?
Does it come with the paper underneath the color?
Yes, got the crayons. Perfect. That's what I want.
Do the maze.
Yes. The maze is great.
It's past time.
It was great. High school game was great. Got to see my former teammate Brad Pyatt for Arvada West. They played great. They got a good squad there at Arvada West. And I left at halftime, so I ended up making it back for, middle of the fourth quarter.
Awesome.
So that was great to be able to see the finish. You know, obviously I missed the first three quarters. Looked like it was really good football. Both quarterbacks looked like they played pretty darn well. And
it was a great finish. It was a good football game. It was a really good.
I wasn't
good.
Expecting to see that from Dak against that defense.
Tell you what, man. I Dak Prescott and those receivers. Now, Lamb had a couple drops. Actually had consecutive drops in the same possession that cost him early. But he made up for it in a big way. Amari Cooper, those two guys are, man, along with Gallup and, you know, Zeke's going up against the number one rush defense in professional football. We talked about this yesterday. You know, you get going back a year, that's all we have to draw from. It's week one. But he was really bottled up. I think he had like 30 yards. But when he did get the ball, he looks like he trimmed down a little bit.
Yeah.
He looks like he's got some speed to him. So I'm not going to let the week one be an indictment on Zeke and what.
No, not against that defense. Can't
not against
it.
Those guys. Not against those guys. But it was a darn close football game. And, you know, yesterday I said this on the air here. 24. They don't win by double figures. 31-24.
Oh, Richie, you sniffed
Dallas
it.
Dallas covers, Tampa wins.
That's what we wanted. That's what we want. Just that isolated.
Yeah, you said so many things yesterday. First, you said they're going to win by double digits, and then you said your score, and you realized that you right. don't know how to add and
right.
count.
That's
and
right.
then you said, well, oh, I said double digits, but I actually said 31-24. Right. That's not right. double digits.
Correct.
So,
correct.
You know, you're all over the map yesterday. Yeah. I'm not taking anything you say.
Yeah.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
There you go.
We're going to pick some games later. We haven't done this in you know,
oh,
a long
I love it.
Time. And
I love it.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a blast. Tampa... You know, look, it's still early. I mean, it's week one, and I know there's no quote-unquote changes, but it's still week one of, you know, football, going up against an actual defense. And, you know, so...
They had, four turnovers? Four turnovers, and I don't know how many they got, but, you know, you turn the football over four times. You're going to have a hard time winning the football game.
For sure.
Especially against a team like... Dallas that played really well.
You know,
offensively they played well, and defensively they made some plays there. So it's a different style of defense, obviously, now there with Dan Quinn compared to what they had, and it looked better.
It did. It did. They were horrific on that side of the ball a year ago. But you're right. I mean, four turnovers. They only forced one. But how many times, and we joke around about this with the Broncos Week 17 game against the Raiders last year, like how many times do you, you're on the wrong end of four turnovers and still figure out a way to win? I mean, gosh, it's, you know, and then you look at the penalties, that's where my brain goes, and they had more penalties too. They had three more penalties than Dallas. They gave up over a football field in penalties. The Bucs did. 106 yards in penalties.
It's hard to win football games like that.
And
I don't care who you are.
Right.
Right. I don't care. I mean, and they had to win it at the end,
yep.
which they did. They made plays at the end of the football game to win it. Godwin's fumble, you know, they had a chance to go up two scores there and kind of ice it probably for the most part.
Yep.
And then he fumbles there, would have been first and goal at the, you know, 2 yard line. And they would have probably gone for, I don't know if they'd gone for, probably just gone up 9 points. But anyway, you know, that really cost them. But there at the end, you know, give Dallas credit for, you know, Zuerlein making that field goal after missing a couple. And, you know, PI or no PI for you? What do you think? Offensive PI or no offensive PI?
You know, it the optics of it, you know, you got the extension, but the guy's body's moving in that direction. You know, it's like all your momentum is going. This happens a lot of times in, you know, basketball, too, with fouls or no fouls. If your body's going a certain way and you just get
the Jordan play
pushed
Byron,
a little
Byron
bit.
Russell.
There
that
you go.
That kind of, you know,
there
same
you
type of thing, right?
Yeah.
He's moving that way. Jordan's arm extended, right, kind of, and you could say, oh, he shoved him, but to
you know,
your point.
Right, so it becomes this gray area. By the letter of the law, did you extend your arm in an effort to create separation? Yes, but that's not what made that man's body move. So for me, I was okay with it not being called. I understand, and reasonable minds can disagree on this one. What did you think?
Yeah, I feel the same way. You know, I like to let the guys play. So regardless of who I'm going for, I kind of let them, I want to let them play a little bit more than the refs throwing the flags and dictating outcome. Now, in that situation, if the ref would have thrown the flag for offensive pass interference, I say, okay, I can see it. Okay, I can see that, you know, happening. I'm glad they didn't. because, like you said, you know, momentum's going. Now, when you slow it down, it looks bad,
right?
You slow it, but as a wide receiver, you're always, you know, I was taught that when you extend your arm like that, guess what? You're putting in the ref's hands. And that's what happened right there. That wide receiver, Godwin, he extended his arm, and when usually when the ref sees that, he's going to throw a flag, especially when you see the guy falling down.
Right.
That's usually an automatic flag right there. You know, refs don't think about, you know, they're not thinking about, oh, gosh, the momentum's going this way, you know, all those things. They see extension. They see guy falling down.
Flag.
Flag. So, you know, Bucks got fortunate there. But I do like the no call there because I'm with you. You know, in real time, I didn't think it was a flag. They slowed it down. It's like, ooh. And then you say, I could see it. But if it was the Jacksonville Jags, they throw that flag.
You think so?
Huh? Trevor Lawrence and LaVisca Chenault, they throw the flag. Oh, yeah. I 1,000% believe that with my heart. Tom Brady, Super Bowl champions, playing at home. They're going to let them play a little bit there at the end of the football game. They're, you know, that ref doesn't want to be on SportsCenter for throwing that flag and Tom Brady yelling at him. I really believe that. Do you believe that?
You know, no, I don't. No. I don't. I think for those officials, it's as big as a game for them as it is for the players. You're in the national spotlight. You're assigned to that game. And I'm not saying that, you know, that human element that you're talking about couldn't creep in. But I just think they're trying to do a great job. And in that moment, I don't think they're worried about Tom. I think they're worried about getting embarrassed themselves. So I don't think they're multitasking in that moment, but it's also Tom Brady. And I can't dismiss your notion either.
Gotcha. Yeah, I really do believe that it played a factor in the no call there.
This, did Kistner get the chicken fingers because he ordered, Richie, did he order them at Del Frisco's?
No, he didn't. No, we went out to dinner. I think we were at View House or something.
Okay.
D-Mac and Tyler brought us out to dinner and we're like, order whatever you guys want. This is our treat, like whatever. And he could have got a steak. He could have got all this stuff. And he's like, can I just get the chicken fingers basket?
Oh. So he could have gone big.
Could have got pizza, steak, sushi. They have everything there.
He got the chicken fingers.
He got the chicken
fingers. Got it. But he leaned into it. To his credit, he leaned into it. Now he like tweets and he's out and like tweets his chicken fingers and like
that's him now.
That's him,
he's a chicken finger man.
You order chicken fingers one time and now you're chicken fingers.
Wow. Good for him. I like that name.
Yeah.
It's a good name.
Yeah, it's a good name. It's a good name. We have so much to get to today.
But what a great game though. Overall, you know, great way to start. It was good to see Dak back healthy. He looked great. Really, great way to start the NFL season right there.
Yeah.
You know, Brady's got the ball in his hands last drive. What's going to happen? You know, goes down there. They make a few plays, and then the kicker makes it and, you know, walk-off field goal. So a really, really good way to start the NFL season. Wasn't a blowout. Kind of looked like it could have been. But Dallas, you know.
Dallas showed a toughness that has been sort of lacking from that team in years past.
Yeah, on the road, first game of the year, what would they look like? I thought they would be a little rusty. I thought Dak would be a little bit rusty. Proved me wrong. That looks like a different football team this year. Certainly health plays a big part in it. You know, that offensive line's
for sure
healthier. I think Dallas is a team to be reckoned with this year. That division is going to be interesting to how that shakes out with Dallas, Washington, and the Giants. I think the Eagles are like the fourth fiddle there.
I think so, too. But between Dallas and Washington, I think those two are going to be the two that are really vying for the division crown there. And the Broncos could have something to do with that. I mean, they got the Giants here in a little over 48 hours. And was D-Mac out at practice, Richie? Do we know that? Was D-Mac out there? Because I saw him tweet that they are practicing indoors today.
Okay.
They're practicing indoors, and the thought is maybe get ready to play on turf?
Yeah. Yeah, get your cleats right. Make sure, because, you know, they don't practice a lot on turf.
Right.
We used to practice a lot on turf in Indy. You know, we'd go to our indoor a lot and practice on turf, but we played on turf. So you want to get used to it. You want to get ready to go. I mean, it's different. It's different playing on turf than it is on grass.
Right.
And all they've been doing is mainly playing on grass. So I like that. get ready to go. That's where you're going to be playing a football game on. It's a different surface. Make sure you got your cleats right. Make sure you got your, you know, all those little things that you need to get ironed out before the game. Do it today on a Friday. So I like that. Good move by Vic. Don't ignore it. It's different.
Yeah,
you know?
It's different.
I mean, yep. Get the guys ready to go as much as possible. So I think that's a good thing.
DMAC tweeted 11 minutes ago, was told the turf here, talking about UC Health Training Center, is the same as MetLife, at least the same company. So, all right, you get familiar with it, just build up a little bit of, you know, I guess muscle memory for it or whatever.
Yeah, and I think most of them are pretty similar. You know, I never knew a difference. I mean, field turf is field turf. They got the darn rubber tire stuff in there, right? You know, so it's like when you're running and cutting on them, they're all pretty much the same stuff.
How is it different for you, you know, playing the wide receiver position, going from grass to turf, advantages, disadvantages?
Yeah, a little bit harder, you know, on your joints and stuff. I mean, it's, you know, grass is just a softer give, but it was better than the old school turf stuff. You know, the old school hard, you know, like the velvet, you know, the tight velvet stuff right on concrete.
I just remember seeing it doesn't look the same as it does today.
I mean, this stuff is so much
better.
Barely
tell.
Yeah. So I didn't really have to make a lot of adjustments. I really didn't think about it, you know. So it never affected me at all. I never really even thought about, oh, we're playing on field turf or playing on grass. It's, you know, just if you got good field conditions, it's not raining, snowing, any of that stuff. Other than that, for me, I'd never really pay too much attention to it or had to adjust. I wore the same cleats.
Okay.
So my cleats were the same. So that was one good thing. You know, the old AstroTurf stuff, you couldn't wear cleats on there. You'd have to wear the turf shoes, right? And so you have different shoes for the turf, you have different shoes for grass. But this stuff, you wear the same cleats that you wear, on grass. So there's I did anyway.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, most players probably do. So it's not as big a deal as it used to be. But for me, there wasn't much adjusting to it. But you hear a guy like Von Miller.
Yeah.
Yesterday, right? It's in the back of his mind.
Yeah, I think so. And we saw when Von did not want to play in the second preseason game, which was in
Seattle.
Is it Seattle? Did he go Minnesota, Seattle, the Rams, right?
Yes.
I think
yes,
so.
Yes,
so it was that middle game. He chose to play in the third game because he did not want to play on turf. So
that's where he hurt his
ankle.
That's
where he hurt his ankle a year ago.
And then do I wonder if he's practicing today?
That's a good one. He's got to. I think he's got to, right?
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, you got to.
Games in 2 days. Can't live in your fears for something that happened a year ago.
And it's, you know, I don't know what the speed is and the tempo is right now for these guys on Friday. I mean, some of my Friday practices were full go, and some of them were 75%, you know. So I'm not quite sure the tempo. But a guy like Von, you know, he's not going to be going 100% today. And so just get your bearings, get your legs under you, get comfortable out there, kind of, you know, check that box and feel good about going into Sunday, I think is important. But yeah, I'm with you. I think he needs to practice on it, get out there. But he talked about it yesterday. He had the right mindset. He's like, I got to do it. You know, we played 3, 4, 5 of them this year. And you know what? I got to play football. I got to just go out there and do it and play. And I think it's one of those things that, you know, like when I had injuries, especially lower body injuries, ACL, Lisfranc, Achilles, you get out there. Right. If it's not bothering you, then you just don't think about it. You just go play ball, you know. So hopefully he's past that. It's not bothering him. He won't think about it, hopefully, and can make it through it.
Does Vic tinker with his plans for today after what happened in Baltimore yesterday?
Oh, wow.
Does that enter your brain, given everything that Vic went through from that standpoint last season?
I mean, it definitely makes you pause. It definitely makes you look at things a little bit differently. But, you know, at the same time, you can't live in your fears. You know, you have to have a plan of how you want to operate. And you can't let how many times does that happen? How many times does that happen? Where two starters and one practice on a Thursday have both, you know, torn their ACLs.
I've never heard of it.
Right. So it's like a one of, really. So I would think that you look at it and you realize, hey, this could happen, but at the same time, we got to get ready to play. We got to get ready to practice. Same thing in preseason games. You know that injuries happen, but, you know, what do you have to do to get ready to play football? You have to have a plan in place there. But certainly it got the, I mean, it got the whole league's attention. I can promise you
for
that.
For sure. For sure. And you're so close to the kickoff. You're so close. Like, you can't wrap these guys in bubble wrap, but at the same time, you got to use wisdom. I mean, it's a fine line.
And
that's a tricky balance there.
It's the same thing as preseason games, playing or not playing.
Sure.
Right? I mean, just what you're talking about. I mean, these coaches think a lot about that. They know how important their dudes are. You know, and you made a good point. I mean, Vic went through it last year. It was like secondary, losing Vaughn. I mean, it hurt this football team. And it makes it harder to win football games. And especially a guy like Vic this year, I think you would be more cautious this year than aggressive. Because you have so much riding on it that you would take the more cautious approach because you can't mess around. Like last year, okay, you know, the possibility of him and this team not performing well and him getting another year was there, right? You follow me?
Sure.
This year, it's not there.
No.
So I think
there's really no gray area.
Right.
Doesn't feel like it.
No. I mean, either you win enough football games or you don't. I mean, there's no excuses. There's no like, oh, well, the quarterback got hurt. Oh, Von Miller got hurt. Oh, look at our – no, it doesn't matter anymore, right?
Nope.
So I think this year you're more cautious. It's almost like what I was talking about with George Payton. Early on, be aggressive. You can be aggressive. Just like Vic, early on, you can be more aggressive in practice and maybe try to, you know, change the culture. Because you got a couple of years for sure. But this third year, I think you have to be more cautious.
This third year for Vic Fangio, there's nowhere to hide.
Nope.
There's no escape hatch of excuses or reasons to point to why you didn't get it done. It's pretty clear. I think if there is not more wins to the left of that dash than there are losses to the right of the dash, I don't think Vic's coming back. I think at bare minimum, he's got to have a winning record. And even then, it still might not be good enough. If it's 9-8 and missing the playoffs, it still might not be good enough.
What did it look like, right?
What did it look like?
Yeah.
What's your relationship with George Payton look like? Then it starts to come into play. 10-7, I think we all agree he's going to be good. You're doubling your win total year over year. You just don't want to change for change's sake. But if you're 8-9, I think Vic's gone. I really do. Even though it would be a marked, you know, 3-game improvement, which is great, I still don't think it's enough because, much like Drew Locke, it's about the larger body of work. This is the installment number 3 of Vic Fangio. It's not all about, isolated to this season.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that if it's 8, it's, you know, 95%, 99%, you know, not good enough. He's got to go.
I mean, they haven't won here in 5 years.
You got to get to 9 at least. I mean, you really do. So it's not good enough. It's time to, you know, he was lucky to get year 3. Lucky.
In today's day and age, that was not a birthright.
No, it was because of the circumstances. It wasn't because of the job he did. It wasn't because of the improvement from year 1 to year 2. It went backwards. So, you know, the circumstances allowed Vic to have year 3. He's got to win more games than he loses. And, you know, the other little, like, asterisk by that is because George Payton has delivered him a good roster.
No question. Right,
there is really no excuses here.
No excuses.
You've got the roster. You've got enough talent on this team to get to 9 wins. And another asterisk, little star, little thing that you look down at the bottom of the paper and it kind of tells you what it means.
A little footnote.
Yeah, that thingy, majiggy. The schedule is set up nicely for you. So this thing is set up for you to win at least 9 games. And if you don't get to 9, get that car packed, get on I-25, and head to wherever you're going. But just get going. Right?
Yeah.
Just go. I mean, just go. It's not good enough, man. Not good enough. So hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully that doesn't happen, right? We want Vic back next year. Don't you?
Not really.
Oh. Sorry. I want Vic back next year. Okay? I do.
I want something that would lead me to have a reason why I want Vic back. Give me a reason why I want Vic back.
Yes. They're going to win more games than they lose.
Okay.
And the other reason is continuity, consistency, that means something, right?
Sure.
And I think that's how you start, you know, changing a culture and really taking the next step to being, you know, a relevant football team again. All those things matter. Now, look, only to a certain degree, I'm not sticking by you if you're not winning football games. You got to win football games, but I'm hoping Vic does win football games. I'm hoping he's back next year and does enough. But if you don't get to 9, sorry, Jack. I-25, 470, whatever, 225, 70, go to the mountains. You ain't got to get out of here, but you got to get out of here.
I think you're
like
looking
that.
For it. You don't have to go home. But
yeah, that thing. Yes, that one.
Get to Stefan.
Yeah.
All right. There it is. It's a Bud Light Football Friday presented by Blake Street Tavern starting next week, 1 week from today. We'll be at Blake Street Tavern for every Bud Light Football Friday throughout the NFL season. Get down to Blake Street for the season opener this weekend at Park and Blake downtown. Your pro and college football headquarters all season long. We love Blake Street Tavern. You can watch Sunday's game on any of their 60 high-definition TVs or outside on the 6x10-foot television. Enjoy all the NFL and collection action this weekend, or college action this weekend, 18,000 square foot bar. Crazy. Crazy. All right. Stay tuned for all kinds of Bud Light promotions all season long. Blake Street Tavern, where Denver watches sports. Cannot wait to be there 1 week from today. All right. Mark Schlereth has a little birdie who's been giving him some juicy information about this weekend's matchup with the Giants. We'll fill you in coming up next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday presented by Blake Street Tavern. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Mark Schlereth has a little birdie who gave him some information about this weekend's matchup, Broncos-Giants, Sunday afternoon. Can't wait.
Can't wait. Does this information have anything to do with Aaron Rodgers?
It could.
Just curious.
Like the time that Mark told us on draft night that Aaron Rodgers was coming to Denver?
Yeah. You remember that day?
I have never forget it. Day 22. The Mark Schlereth smear campaign. Well done. That's executing for both of you guys. Richie on the button.
Yeah.
Without any notice.
I didn't have to yell at him.
It's good. It's good stuff.
He's on it today.
Good stuff.
All those cookies he's eating.
Oh. What type of shot is that, Richie?
I don't know. I just know that's fuel. Crumble cookies, that's fuel.
Oh, did you bring in some crumble?
Yeah.
Golly.
I know how to take care of my guy.
Golly.
Got to take care of him. Look how focused he is today. See?
I love it.
Yeah.
I bought him a coffee yesterday. I said, this is what, imagine you got this response. I said, hey, I'm going to Starbucks. What type of coffee you want?
You didn't text me?
Because they said you were just there. I was in there. They said you were just there.
Is that when you text him when you're in there? You wait till you're in there? You didn't text him before?
I texted him right then.
Yeah, now the story. The truth, see, caught you in a lie. Caught you in a lie.
They said your partner was just here.
Yeah.
And they said, they asked you if you were getting my coffee.
Yes, they did.
And they said, you said, he's on his own today.
That's right. I did. All that is true.
So,
very accurate with the report there, except for your lie that you were telling about yourself.
Richie, did I not text you at like 8 minutes before the show started saying, I'm at Starbucks, what do you want?
It was bizarrely close to the start of the show that I was like, he's at Starbucks?
Yeah. And his response is, I want an iced apple crisp macchiato.
Oh, no.
Delicious.
That ain't happening. I will not be getting you any of that stuff.
I know when it got handed to me, it had three layers. Like, right. I could see definitive layers. I'm like, Stokely would have never got him this coffee.
No. If Stokely had texted me, I'd be like, just give me a grande Americano.
There you go. There you go.
Love it. Joe Judge, look at you calling me a liar. Who are you, D-Mac?
Hey.
Joe Judge.
Fibber. How about a fibber? I don't want you to get mad at me. Stop fibbing over there.
Joe Judge told the media today that...
Who are you, D-Mac?
Barring a setback in practice this afternoon, that Saquon Barkley will play Sunday against the Broncos. All right, he is going to be out there. But how much? Mark Schlereth is in New York.
Oh.
He's in the Big Apple.
That's right. He's calling the game.
He's calling the game.
Okay.
So this morning, he's preparing to call that game on Fox, and a little birdie gave him an interesting tidbit on how the Giants may be feeling about Saquon's workload. This is Stink.
If Saquon Barkley is playing, we will also talk
whoa, whoa,
to
whoa,
Saquon
Barkley. Whoa, 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 whoa.
If he's playing? I thought that was a done deal that he was going to play. It was just he might be on a pitch count. Well... I don't know.
Get, wait a minute. You get a little inside info here? You got a little birdie whispering to you?
Right. Yeah. The birdie is this. There is talk right now. Broncos, home opener on turf, obviously in Jersey. Then they play the Thursday night game against Washington in Washington on grass. And they're worried, which you always are, how you respond to something like playing a football
interesting,
game.
Interesting. Yeah.
When you haven't played in a year, almost a, you know, like less than a year for him, because I think he tore his ACL week three last year, or week something like that.
Yes.
So he, like, there's concern from the Giants, and they're being very coy, but there is concern about him being able to compete against the divisional opponent if he plays on Sunday.
Very interesting. I did not give the following opponent thought, to be honest with you. It's kind of in my blind spot. The fact that it's a short week against a divisional opponent. What do you make of the dynamics here in New York?
Yeah, no, knew the next week was a short week, but wasn't thinking about it being Washington and being that divisional opponent and that being a little bit more important than the Broncos game. And how do you navigate those waters? It's a quick turnaround. Interesting. We'll see. We'll see what their plan is. But obviously you're looking forward a little bit. But at the same time, you know, I would be surprised if he didn't play at all. I think you have him on a pitch count, you know, you have him on a play count, whatever that is. And then you deal with next week happens. And if he can't go, then he just doesn't go next week. Then you got a whole nother, you know, week and a half before he has to play, or 2 weeks, whatever it is, before he has to play again. So he's been practicing. You see the reports. I mean, he was a full go. And so I'm expecting to see him just on a play count and a pitch count. So I would be surprised if he doesn't play. You?
I'd be surprised if he doesn't play as well. But then the conversation shifts to what is the pitch count?
Yeah.
Over, under 13 and a half carries for Saquon.
Wow. I mean, 13 and a half carries, how many plays is that? You know what I'm saying? That it's hard to, I mean, is that 30 plays?
Maybe.
I mean, is he in the game for 30 plays and gets 13 out, or is he in the
game for mid 20s, high 20s, 30? Yeah, it could be. I mean,
I think he plays mid 20s. Right around, you know, 20 to 25 plays is what I'm guessing. And usually in a game you have anywhere between, you know, on the lower end, you know, low 60s to, you know, mid 70s to 80s. I mean, just depending on the game and how the game is going. So, you know, maybe it's a little bit more. I don't know. But I think he gets probably 12 to 15 carries. Yeah, right around there.
Okay.
So I think they use him. I do. I'd be surprised if they don't. You know, you're trying to win a football game if you're Joe Judge. You're trying to win that opener. You know, yeah, you know what's coming up, but I'll deal with that when I get there.
Yeah, start 1-0 is, yeah.
That's the NFL philosophy.
Right.
You know, you keep your head down, and right now, I got it. We're playing a divisional opponent, but all these things matter a lot, right? Those divisional games matter a little bit more, but at the same time, this one matters a lot. You want to get off, you're playing at home. You want to get off to a fast start. He's your best football player. If he's ready to go, you use him. You know, you worry about next week. You kind of get that bunker mentality. That's the way it is. You don't get too far ahead of yourself and start worrying about, well, what's going to happen in 2 weeks? What's going to happen? You can't do that. So I'm expecting them to play and, you know, play. I don't want to say a lot, but he's going to be out there. And I think, you know, Broncos got to be aware of that and be ready for that.
Just a note I wanted to share from last night's game that I didn't get out of my head when we were talking about the Bucs-Cowboys and talking about the number of carries for Saquon against the Broncos made me think of it. How unusual is this? And I don't even know if I should use the word unusual. Maybe it's just a sign of the times that last night we had a football game, all right, where the leading rusher for Dallas is Ezekiel Elliott with just 11 carries, and the leading ball carrier for Tampa was Leonard Fournette with just 9 in an even football game. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was an even football game largely throughout the game, and you got the leading ball carrier having 9 carries for Tampa, the leading ball carrier for Dallas carrying it 11 times. Both teams were under 20 total carries as a team. And you look at the wide receivers. I'm not saying it hasn't happened because I know that it has, but when's the last time that you had 2 100-yard receivers for Dallas, 2 100-plus-yard receivers for the Bucs? It's just really interesting. Yeah. 4 separate 100-yard receivers in the same game that wasn't 45-48. It was 31-29.
Yeah, close game, right? Usually you see, you know, uptick in running the football. But, you look at Tampa, 14 rushes, and Dallas 18, but 4 of those rushes were from Dak.
Right.
So it's really 14-14,
right,
handing it to a running back.
Like design runs.
Design runs. That was it.
Really interesting.
So the old notion, well, you got to run the football to set up the pass and this and that, like, not anymore. That's kind of out the window. I mean, it helps. Yeah. I mean, would you love to run the football? But when you have competent quarterbacks, you don't have to.
Yeah.
You say, hey, what do I trust more? The running game's not working? Okay, whatever. Get in the shotgun. Deal it up. Right? You know, you can throw those little short 3-4 yard passes. Those are just as good as runs.
How many passing attempts? Don't look at this. No. Don't know. How many passing attempts would you guess that Dak and Brady combined for last night?
I looked.
Okay.
I looked.
Okay. 108 passing attempts in a regulation football game. 58 for Dak, 50 for Brady. 14 designed runs for each team. Really interesting dynamic.
Yep.
In the NFL right now, if you got the guy that can hurl it. All right, the past met the future this week. Aqib Talib sitting down with Pat Surtain. Interesting audio that will bounce off you coming up next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday presented by Blake Street Tavern. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
The past met the future this week. Aqib Talib sitting down with Pat Surtain. Pretty cool stuff here. Pretty cool stuff. This is on Aqib's podcast, Called to the Booth. Pretty cool. Surtain shared his mindset with Aqib Talib on how he's feeling ahead of week one.
Week one, man. First game. How you feeling, my boy? What's that? What's your mindset like?
Man, I'm excited. You know, first professional game. You know I had preseason games, but it doesn't really count. I feel like the magnitude of the game, the hype of the game is going to be there. So, you know, I just can't wait to get out there and play, you know, with the team. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. You know, key match, prime time, Sunday game. So it should be fun.
Do you remember how you felt before your first ever NFL game?
Oh, yeah, playing the Rams in St. Louis. I was, you know, I felt more nervous in practice than I did in games at that time. I mean, Brian Billick, you know, like he made it difficult, you know, for the wide receivers. And, you know, that was his position. You know, he's an offensive coach and practices were like really nerve wracking. Because every little thing, and, you know, they just yell at you right away. Games, you kind of away from them. You know, they kind of let you play a little bit for the most part and correct you the next day. So I just remember being pretty calm, you know, not being all that nervous or anything, because I was more, like I said, I was just more nervous during practice during the week than I was for the game.
Aqib Talib asked Pat Surtain whether or not he feels pressure to live up to being selected as high as he went in the first round.
I remember I used to play, right? Every year, at the beginning of the year, I'm going to feel like, all right, I got something to prove, right? I was first round pick. All right, I got to prove, like, you know what I'm saying? Why I was the first round pick? Why they picked me? I ain't no bust. And then all the way to when I got with the Broncos, I got my bag. You know what I'm saying? I had to prove, like, oh, I'm worth this 10 M's a year. Like, do you have that feeling?
Yeah, I think every week, especially, you got to prove yourself each and every week, especially if you're a rookie. And, you know, you, like, first round, top 10 pick, I feel like you got to go out and go for your work every week. You know, you just keep on exceeding and keep on growing each and every week. So that's what I – and when it comes to that, you know, you just got to focus on your keys. You know, a lot of film study goes into that too. And you got to make sure, like, you got to have the mindset that you're the best player out there, you know, each and every week. So,
okay. What are your expectations for Pat Surtain on Sunday?
How much I don't know how much he's going to play. That's going to be an interesting storyline. How do they, you know, juggle this secondary around? What does it look like? You know, does he play? They have him inside, you know, on third down, passing situations, 2 minute drives. You know, is he go inside and is, you know, take over the linebacker position for one of those guys? So it's hard for me to say because I just don't quite know how much he's going to play. I don't think the game's going to be too big for him. I don't think he's going to go out there and all of a sudden fall on his face or anything like that. But usually when you have a top 10 pick, guess what? That guy's a starter right away.
Well, typically that's how it works.
For a bunch of different reasons.
Yeah.
Usually you're coming to a bad football team.
Mm-hmm.
When you pick a nine, you're a bad football team, right? So usually you pick a position that you really need a lot of help at. And that guy starts right away. Well, the Broncos addressed that position beforehand and addressed it again during the draft, so he's coming to a team that's stacked at that position right now. So it's a little bit different for him. I mean, I expect him to play solid football. I just don't know how much he's going to play. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. I'm a fan, okay? I'm not a football coach of the Broncos. I really want to see Pat Surtain. I want to see him. I think he's good enough to play right now. It's a tough question to even ask you because we just don't know. I wanted to say, like, which of these guys is better than Pat Surtain right now? But we haven't seen Pat Surtain play NFL football. But I don't know. Like, my eyes tell me, and I'm not some corners coach either, but, man, the cat just looks good.
Yeah. Look, I mean, his dad played in the NFL for a long time. He went to Alabama. He was one of the top recruits coming out of high school. You know, every level that he's gone to, he's had success and been a stud. So I'm expecting him to come here and be great. Hopefully that's what happens. It's just a different situation than usually you have when a guy in the top 10 gets drafted. Usually he's starting right away. We'll see. Look, it's a long football season. Injuries happen. You know, people's performance, you know, might suffer. I'm expecting to see a lot of Pat Surtain. I just don't know how much in week one.
Sure.
Right? And coaches, you know, you might feel good about him, but it's still week one. You're trying to win this game. You know, how much do you actually trust this guy, you know, right away to just throw him out there? You got to be a little bit cautious. I mean, a lot's riding on, you know, not only the whole football season, but early in the season for the Denver Broncos. And he's still a rookie.
A lot of rave reports out there.
We saw the pick six and, you know, he's still a rookie.
How about this one? I'm going to read you three consecutive texts on the RamosLaw.com text line. Frankie and Boulder. PS2 will have a pick on Sunday. Write that down.
Okay.
The next text from 358. Put your name on it. Give you a shout out. PS2 is getting a pick on Sunday.
Wow.
Darren in Denver. Expectation for PS2 on Sunday? Pick six. Hey, very next text, 815, bold prediction. Pat Surtain Jr. makes the first interception of the year on Sunday. That's from JFK. I love it.
I hope so. That would be great.
That was the debut he had in preseason, right? In that first preseason game, I think it was, took one to the house.
Against the Vikings.
That'd be pretty cool.
It would be pretty cool if that happens. Just going to be interesting to see how they use him and how much they use him there in that first game and early in the football season because they got so much depth there. and you got veteran guys there that are healthy. So what's your role for Pat Surtain? I mean, that's one of those things. What's your role for Javonte Williams? You know, things like that. Like, we're going to start knowing the answers to those things.
All right. We don't have to wait long, man. It is right around the corner. We continue along the path on a Bud Light Football Friday. The next destination of this path is an interesting one.
Oh.
Nobody knows the Giants better than Paul Schwartz of the New York Post.
Is he back?
He's been covering the team since 1994.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
But the last time he joined us 2 years ago, there was a mix-up that led to a classic moment on this show.
No, try again.
That's the voice of Paul Schwartz. We have not spoken since this moment. Have I been forgiven?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. This is going to be great. I hope not. I hope he hates you. I hope he hangs up on you like Vaughn hung up on you.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to check in with what's going on in the Big Apple and the expectations from their point of view for Denver. That's coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.